Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Tab Douglas here. You got me until we get you off to the NASCO Roofing Preview Show with the Z-Boys. Jack Zarensic and Dan Zangrilli. That's coming up at 4:45. But before we get into the show proper, I want to say a proper goodbye to one of the finest producers I have ever worked with in my long extended career in radio. You heard Pomp talking about it a little bit. John Bridge, his last day on the job, and he's been, you know, pulling the weekend shift for a lot of years here at 93.7 The Fan. But his producing career goes all the way back to, what, 2001, Bridgie?
Yep. Previous stop at 1250, the old 1250 days.
For both of us.
For both of us,
yeah. Way back when. Of course, I remember little John Bridge running around as his older brother was a goaltender who played
younger,
with my
younger
son. Was he your younger brother?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I thought he was your
older
brother.
Brother.
Well, that really throws me into a tizzy. Well, I remember back in those days when we were all young and enjoying life, and you know, your brother was playing goaltender, and my son was on the same team for a lot of years, and your dad and mom.
Oh yeah.
They ought to be proud of you, and you got a family now, and.
Yep, two kids. And
that's why you got it. You got to give it up because you're working during the week. I get that, and you're coming in on weekends. But
yeah, it's getting tougher with them getting older, but a lot of fun, a lot of good memories.
Maybe you'll get back into it someday.
Yeah, you never say never, especially in this business, right?
In any business. Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever you what are you doing during the week?
I work in customer service, so.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's. Okay.
Well, you're the perfect guy because, as everybody knows who has called this radio station for a lot of years, and especially on Saturday during Bucko Talk and Saturday mornings, he is Mr. Customer Service, right?
Yeah, I'm the gateway to get you guys callers, and so it's been a lot of fun.
So how do you spend your Saturdays now?
A lot of time with the kids, and unfortunately for me, probably a lot more yard work.
And it starts today
when
you go home. Well, listen, keep in touch. It's been a great ride. What, 18 years?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, wow. So he's giving it up and spending time with family. And Bridgie, it was great. It was a great run. And again, you never know. We couldn't meet up down the road. Good luck to you and the family. Say hello to your mom and dad for me and your brother, your younger brother.
Will do.
And
thanks.
I gave him a picture. How old was that? I gave you a picture of Jason.
I don't know. I was going
to
ask you.
I have to
you
look
that.
At. Well, it, I don't know. It had
it's
to be
close to 20
to be,
years ago.
Yeah. Well, it was 20 years ago. It was 1999, I believe, somewhere in there. 1999, 2000. So there you go. Gave him a picture of his brother in goaltender equipment. So that was kind of cool. But anyway, hey, make it a great. You know, rest of your career and enjoy your weekends now.
Thanks, Tab. I greatly appreciate it. It's been fun working with you.
Yeah, my pleasure. He's one of the best. And now we got also one of the best, Matt Harkins. Harkey's behind the glass, and he's going to be taking care of you. And we've got this is a busy show today. Let me tell you, well, first of all, the first hour here is going to be open to you, and I want to talk about the Bucks. And if you've, you know, listened to me on a regular basis over the years on weekends, you know I'm an unabashed fan and have been pulling for a long time for Stephen Brault to put it together. And it looks as though with this little run he is on right now of five appearances lasting covering 24 and a third, 23 hits, giving up only five earned runs, 12 walks, 17 strikeouts, an earned run average over that span of 1.85 with a whip of 1.43, and the six shutout innings last night throwing 90 pitches. Granted, it is the Miami Marlins. I get that. But you can't turn your nose up at this run. And it makes me feel good because I've been pulling for him to get it together, to pull it together, and quite frankly, earlier this season when everything was caving in with Brault and Kingham and the rest of that pitching staff, the rest of the bullpen, I'm thinking, this is not good. But, you know, you need somebody to step forward. You need somebody to come out of the shadows and start making things happen. And it looks as though Brault's doing that. And what also tends to lean in his favor is he's a lefty. And it would be a tremendous feather in the Pirates' cap to have an effective left-handed starter, which is what I've been hoping for about the last 2 years, for him to put it together and be able to do that. So I guess my question to you is, if this continues and you got to figure he's going to get another couple of starts, one, two, as people get healthy, as Trevor Williams comes back, as Tyone comes back, what do you do with this rotation? I'm beginning to think that if Brault's success continues, this may force the Pirates into a situation where they've got to make a decision on moving either Archer or Musgrove to the bullpen. And the more and more I think about it, the more I think that the more likely scenario might be Musgrove. Because when they acquired him from the San Francisco Giants, his numbers were far better coming out of the pen than they were as a starter. And I heard a caller on Pomp's show, he listed a number of things that bothers him about the Pirates, and one of the things he hit on that kind of bothered me in a lot of cases is, you know, they bring somebody in and, you know, they say it's an open audition and, you know, jobs are open, but, you know, you kind of know and you kind of see, and you've seen it over the years, that they bring somebody in, they just anoint, I think that was the word that the caller used, anoint people a role. They did it with Musgrove. They just decided he's going to be a starter. They did it with him. And, you know, while he's been, you know, up and down, really, for the most part, it kind of makes you wonder if, you know, maybe ultimately he will end up back in the bullpen as maybe a more effective guy. Archer, to my knowledge, I'd have to go back and take a look, and I didn't do that, but I would assume that he probably has rarely, if ever, been a bullpen guy. He's probably been a starter the most of his career. So, you know, to me, that would be, you know, you wouldn't want to take somebody that hasn't done that and try to pigeonhole him into that role, despite the fact that he's been struggling even more than Musgrove, that he would probably be, you know, the guy that stays in the rotation if Musgrove does go to the bullpen. But that the question on the table is, do you keep Brault as a starter and consider moving one of those two guys to the pen as things start shaking themselves out? A couple of other notes before we open up the phone lines, and the phone lines are open at 412-928-9370. That's also the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Brian Reynolds, 4-for-5 last night. He's got his average up now to .364. His on-base percentage is at .415, and his OPS is at .989. And obviously he doesn't have enough plate appearances or at-bats to qualify for being listed among the league leaders in the National League. But if he had enough, and he's only about 35 plate appearances away from doing that, he would be number one in batting average, number three in on-base percentage, and number seven in OPS in the National League. And you look at the names ahead of him. With a .415 on-base percentage, only Bellinger and Yelich are ahead of him on on-base percentage. The six guys ahead of him in OPS, Yelich, Bellinger, Rendon, Josh Bell, Blackman, and Freeman are the only guys ahead of Brian Reynolds with that .989 OPS. So there you have it. I just wanted to throw those numbers out too. And, you know, what can you say about what Colin Moran is doing as well? You know, a lot of people were on his case last year, mostly because of his defense and the fact that he wasn't hitting for power. But I think a lot of people in the process forgot the fact that he was a rookie. He was a rookie last year. And sometimes, Brian Reynolds being the exception, it takes a little time to get established, to get settled in. So maybe it's beginning to happen. And you know what? Quite frankly, he's made some pretty good defensive plays. He made a this week when they had the shift on and he basically was playing in the shortstop position, he made a diving backhand grab and got to his feet and had a strong throw to first base to get the out. It was just an incredible play. It was a play almost like a natural shortstop. And they've been using him a little bit at second. So here again, just like Stephen Brault's situation potentially, is maybe these guys are finally beginning to get it. All right, having said that, I'm going to open up the phone lines. We're going to get to a break, and then we'll come back and take some calls. But let me tell you what we got going on the show, because, again, it's going to be a busy one. Coming up at 2:05, Corey Geiger, our good friend from the Altoona Mirror and ESPN Radio out in Altoona, is going to jump on board with us to give us a scouting report on Dario Agrizal, who pitched last season at Double A Altoona, started the season in Double A Altoona before, you know, all the call ups, and you know they had to move him up and move them up to Triple A, and you know that's where he's joining the Pirates from Triple A Indy, but it's you know created that move up ripple effect. So Corey, you know, knows a lot about Agrizal, and we'll talk to him about that. That's coming up at 2:05. And then, as I mentioned, at 3 o'clock hour, we're going to get into some hockey here in the summer, the day before Father's Day, because next week, Friday, is draft day for the NHL. Kyle Woodley from the Red Line Report, he puts it together every year, scouting report on all the talent. We're going to talk to him at 3:05, and then Jonathan Bomboli of the Trib is going to jump on to talk specifically about the Penguins, potential Phil Kessel trade, any other trades, because I got a feeling that the Penguins will be in the market to make some trades before the draft that could, A, potentially pick them up another first-round pick, or at the very least, a second and a third, which they don't have right now. So we'll talk to JB about that. And then coming up at the 4 o'clock hour, Vince Comunale of the Point of Pittsburgh had a pretty good story this week on ending base brawls. And we saw the Musgrove-Donaldson situation. We're going to talk about that coming up at 4:05. So lots to do. 412-928-9370. Fling open the phone lines. After the update, we'll get to your calls. Is Stephen Brault going to push somebody out of that rotation? Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Happy day before Father's Day to all you dads out there. As a dad, I got tomorrow off. I don't know how that happened, but I'm not on a schedule, so that kind of makes me happy to celebrate Father's Day without having to pull an air shift, but that's okay because you got me till 4:45 today, and I got the phone lines open right now for you, 412-928-9370. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. And some of the questions, well, I threw the one out that I'd like to know. Do you think that Stephen Brault's recent success, and again, I mentioned the fact that over his last five outings, got an earned run average of 1.85, and he's lowered his earned run average from 8.24 all the way down to its current 4.40 with his six shutout innings last night. Is he kind of forcing the Pirates' hand when it comes to Archer and or Musgrove? When everybody gets healthy, does he have to stay in that rotation? If his outings continue like that, I would say, yep. And I'm happy for it. Because, again, as you know, if you listen to me on weekends, I like the kid. I like the guy. I like Brault as a person. And I always pull for him. And I'm glad to see he's starting to put it together. 412-928-9370. Here's something else real quick, too, before we hit the phone lines. How warm should Ray Searage's seat be if, and I say if, Mitch Keller doesn't get it turned around? Because after his second outing in which he got rocked, I'm thinking the Pirates cannot afford to have Tyler Glasnow come up and bomb as a highly prized potential top of the rotation starter. And then the next year have a guy who they thought more of and who scouts think more of than Tyler Glasnow as a top of the rotation pitcher to not perform. Who does that fall back on? I'm thinking, even if it's not Ray Searidge's fault, heads got to roll, because you just can't have a potential superstar pitcher like Glasnow and same thing with Mitch Keller come up and bomb. You just can't. They got to get to the root of that problem. And a lot of the problem with Glasnow, by the way, was his own, admittedly, and between his own ears. Mitch Keller isn't cut that way. So what you're hoping to see is, you know, some improvement as he moves along. So I was kind of thinking that during the week, and I just wanted to throw that out as a discussion point for all of us. All right, let's hit the phone lines. We've got Jim on the cell. He's been waiting a while. Thanks for hanging, Jim. What's on your mind, buddy?
Hey, yeah, I got to agree with you. I too, am an unabashed Pirate fan, and this has worked out a little opposite. I thought the pitching would be superior and would be scrambling for runs. But it's the opposite, and that's fine, because I do think with the injuries and the pitching is going to come around in spite of Searidge, because there's some decent talent there. My beef is, though, I look at the upside, uptick of Moran, Ozuna, Diaz, Newman, and, of course, Reynolds. And Hurdle just baffles me. He manages this club like they're three games in front and he's saving it for the stretch. These guys are young guys that have to play. They should be playing 145 to 150 games a year. He did the same thing, and it has nothing to do with the trade, but he did the same thing with Meadows when the guy was at 404 on a 12-game streak, and he sits him down. Everybody sits down for Polanco. Polanco has realized the top of his potential. He's never going to be what they thought he was, and now he's a lot less because he can't throw the ball. I would be very fine with having a rotation of Marte, who is also some of a disappointment, but he's better. Marte and Dickinson and Reynolds and Cabrera. And I wouldn't be giving these guys off. Why would he give Reynolds off two games? That was dumb. And I believe Hurdle does that. I don't know why. Analytics should tell you if a guy's really hot, you stay with him. And also, I'm very happy with Brault, too. I think there's talent on that staff. It's going to come around. It takes a while, but they have to play. And this is a fine example. They're 8-10. They're in last place. I'd be fine to throw away this year, build the team for next year, add a couple pieces, and then you have something.
Well, Jim, you're going to have to trade somebody. Let me ask you this, and I'll throw this out to anybody who wants to do it as well. Give me your top three and rank them players you would move coming up at the trade deadline on this current roster in order to, you know, get younger, whatever, mm-hmm. just create openings. Give me your top three. In order.
Within my top three, probably two of them are untradeable. But Cervelli, which you get nothing for. Marte, which I think you have to move because you have young talent who you can get something for. In fact, something pretty good for. And I would say I'd like to trade Polanco, but of course no one's going to. You're not going to get value back for him. Yep. But those three, I think we can build a team without. Honestly, I really do. Maybe Marte's a good. He's a good 20-game-at-a-time player, but the effort's not always there. The body language isn't good. He's decent. He'll make somebody a contender, but he's not the guy to lead you to the promised land.
Yeah, and he holds the most value if you're pushing all the chips in to get something.
Right.
And that, you know, that's what people forget. Although I got to tell you, I was a little bit furious this week with a lot of people thinking that they ought to move Vasquez. You've got a closer who is that at that right price for this organization. You do not move him, especially if you think you're going to be a contender over the next couple of years when you add, you know, some youth and you add some young talent. That drove me up a wall.
You're absolutely right, because he's not being used as much this year because there's not leverage situations. So he's going to be safe. He's a good player. The Pirates always preach about having control with somebody. That's not the guy you move. You move Marte, who still is attractive to a lot of teams, but he's never going above the line.
I'm with you on that, Jim. Thanks so much for your call. Let's go to our buddy Doc in Claysville. Happy Father's Day, Doc.
Same to you, Tab, since you're off tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to get while the getting's good, you know.
Yeah, but happy Father's Day, big guy.
Thanks.
Hey, a couple things real quick here. First of all, sad to hear that John, your producer, I'm skipping on his last name, Bridge.
John Bridge.
Yeah, one of the best, definitely, like you say, Tab. And,
class guy. He's very, very good at what he does. I'm gonna miss him. I know on weekends.
Oh, I'm gonna miss him big time. But he's been around in radio for a long time, and he's been
2001. That's what we were going over. We worked together at previous stops. So yeah, he's been around
18 years, and he's really gonna be missed as far as I'm concerned. Hey, Tab, as far as your questionnaire, I think it's a great idea. The guy I take out of the rotation is Musgrove and put him in relief, you know, in the middle innings probably, or even later, but at least middle innings. And I'd put Brault in that other spot. He's earned it, I think, really. And Musgrove seemed like he gives you three or four innings, and then he fizzles out, you know.
Yep.
And the other couple things here is they got to separate themselves from Gong. This isn't working out. I hope they trade him to the American League if somebody will take him. But he's just, you got a couple homers or something, but he strike out most of the time and not very much given there, you know.
Well, Doc, rank your top three movable pieces, guys that you would rank 1, 2, and 3 that you would be likely to move, let's just say, at the trade deadline to improve this team somehow. Who would it be?
Okay, first of all, the untouchables, as I said in the past, is Marte. I disagree with the last caller, and he's a superstar. He's going to make it here one of these days, but he's still a great five-tool player. And, of course, Reynolds, you can't. This guy could be something there, especially he's already is something special, and, boy, what a pickup he is. But as far as answering your question there, the three would be Polanco, probably Gong, and then the third one would probably be, let's see, I don't know who the third one would be. That's pretty tough. The third one
A lot of people have thrown Dickerson on because he's not going to be back.
Oh, yeah, that would
yeah,
be
he's not going to be back next year. But, I think that kind of reduces his value, plus the fact that he's trying to work his way back. So here's the other thing to consider, and I'm kind of against you. It's rare that I'm against you on this, but I think by moving Marte, here's the beauty of being able to move Marte, aside from the fact that he holds the most value that you'd get in return in a deal, is his contract is going to go up to $11.5 million next year. But that is a club option. So if you're trading him, whoever is going to get him has that club option. So that makes it, if they feel they made a mistake, that kind of makes it easier for them, you know, to recoup a little bit.
Yeah,
so,
and I think he's only about five tool players in the league, and this guy is one of them.
Yeah, when he wants to be, though, that's the other end of it.
Well, it seemed like he's turning the corner here a little bit. I could be wrong, but he's picking it up here. And one last thing, the guy that's disappointed me a little bit in his power is Diaz. He's sitting there with one home run.
Yeah.
That's gonna work out to be three home runs. You need more out of that catcher. And he's trying to kill the ball instead of just meeting the ball. Do you ever notice how he's really swinging for the fences?
He's swinging angry is what he's doing.
He's like a golfer. You know, when a golfer, they tell you, they say, don't try to kill it, just meet it.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just, yeah, so hope they can get him straightened up on a little bit more power. But,
well,
we need a streak, and that'll do it.
Hopefully this young kid on the mound will do it. Now, Doc, happy Father's Day to you, and thanks so much, buddy. Always good to talk to you. We'll break. Come back with more calls. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. My trusty producer for this show, Matty Harkins, put up on Twitter At 93.7 The Fan, by the way, our poll, which we started earlier. If Steven Brault continues to go like he's going, whose spot in the rotation does he take? The choices that Maddie put up there was Jordan Lyles, Joe Musgrove, and the other was a write-in, and we all know who that other is. Basically, Chris Archer. And I had mentioned that I think, just like Brian Reynolds has forced the Pirates' hand from a position player standpoint, meaning you got to play him, you got to get him in the lineup, you got to keep going. It may force the Pirates to make a decision come the trade deadline on either Marte or Polanco, in my estimation, or Dickerson. You know, but I think most value had of that group, obviously, is Marte. And Reynolds can play center, by the way. I think in the same breath, Steven Brault is forcing the Pirates into a decision to keep him in the rotation. So who does he replace? You know, Musgrove had a reputation of being effective out of the bullpen when they brought him in from San Francisco, but they automatically wanted to make him a starter. And I pulled up Chris Archer. When was the last time he appeared in relief? It was his rookie year in 2012 at Tampa Bay. He made four starts in six appearances. And even throughout the minor leagues, you got to go all the way back to, I guess, a single-A Daytona, where he had 15 appearances and 14 of those starts. So maybe two or three times in his entire career has he come out of the bullpen and not made a start. So, you know, I think if you're looking at just a comfort level, you know, Musgrove would be a better guy to put in the back into the bullpen if indeed he continues to struggle and Brault continues to do what he's been doing, which is pretty darn good over the last five appearances. Like I said, a 1.8-something earned run average. To drop his earned run average to 4.40, which is pretty darn good considering it was well up over eight. All right, let's go back to the phone lines and the fan hotline, which is brought to you by Armstrong Business, and we've got Carol out there in Clinton. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Tab. How are you?
I'm good. Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to say before I make my point is you are such a gentleman on the radio, and I really enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. My point is you were talking earlier about Ray Searidge, and I agree with you. I think he should be on the hot seat. I've been thinking that for the past couple years. And what I think we really need to keep an eye on is if Nick Kingham goes to the Blue Jays and turns into like a Cy Young candidate like a lot of other guys have done, there's really got to be some emphasis put on what's going on with our pitching, coaching, and player development.
I think a lot of people are going to be watching that. I would be, quite frankly, I would be surprised, first of all, if Kingham is on Toronto's major league roster. I checked the roster the other day, and I didn't see him on it. So he may go down to AAA and try to get his act together with the Blue Jays. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't put Kingham certainly in the same ballpark as Glasnow or Tyone. And Matty Ice, my producer, you know, actually before you had called, he put that in my little note screen here. Hey, all eyes are going to be on Kingham now. Because as you remember, you know, the big four was Cole, Tyone, Glasnow, and Kingham. He was kind of thrown into that prospect pitching heap. But he was by far the number four of that group. I mean, he wasn't a number one, and he just didn't have the talent. But I think when he came out and pitched that unbelievable debut game in the majors, I think a lot of people kind of went overboard on him. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's going to be interesting. And the Pirates, as I said, can't afford to see what happened with Glasnow happen again with a guy so highly thought of as Mitch Keller. So, yeah, I think it is. Even if it's not Ray's fault, even if it's an organizational philosophy, somebody's going to pay.
Right. Somebody needs to be held accountable to just have this keep happening over and over and over again.
Yep. Carol, good to hear from you. Thanks again for calling, and thanks for your kind words as well. Let me see. I don't want to take anybody out of order because we are running a little short of time here. Lou in Aliquippa. Hey, Lou.
Hey, Tab. How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, as far as your top three players, you know, you got to adjust that question to be players that people really want. You know, God bless all us Pirate fans, but, you know, really, nobody wants Cervelli, Gong or Polanco.
Well, yeah, so, it's your own list. I get that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but for me, if I was another team, and you know, and you're the Pirates at the same time playing both sides of it, I'd say Cabrera would be number one because I think he's the guy who you can afford to let go most in the outfield. Unfortunately, I think Marte would be number two because he's just too much of an up-and-down player. When he's great, he's great. And when he's not, everybody wishes they traded him. But right now, he's great, and he could probably bring you back in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And number three for me is the reluctant one. That's a hard choice. And if it's a player that I, you know, don't want to get rid of but would bring you something, I'd say it might be Newman. Now, I would love to trade somebody like Dickerson or somebody like that, but I don't think. But your producer corrected me because my third player was originally Will Craig in the minor leagues.
Right,
you know, that was going to be your future guy. That guy, you know, besides Cabrian Hayes, you don't want to trade him. But he's like another big hitter right now, and he's riding high, and I'm sure people are looking at that. If he can bring you minor league prospects for pitching, and by the way, I would emphasize all these players for pitching. You don't need any more position players or outfielders right now. All pitching.
Because I think in the next year or two, I threw this out last weekend. I'll get your thoughts real quick. We got to get to a break. But the infield to me looks like Hayes, Tucker. I think Newman will eventually move to second base. And you've got either Will Craig or Josh Bell at first. And then what you have is you got the Will Craig, Josh Bell option in right, Reynolds in center, and Jason Martin in left. I think that is the team, that's the young base, that's the young core with whatever they can do on the pitching end of it, and a lot of it's young as well, that's going to be moving forward for years to come. Your reaction to that real quick?
Well, Will Craig, I never thought of him in the outfield so much.
They're trying him there. They're trying him there at Indy because they, you know, they realize they got Bell at first base, and of course, Bell has played the outfield too. Right.
Left or right?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, once again, you got that Polanco block.
Well,
that,
see,
that, but...
well, okay, there's, then that leads you right into my three. Number one is Marte, number two is Polanco, and number three would be Cabrera, although I'd hate to lose, you know, that veteran guy off the bench because he's perfect for that role. All right, Lou.
Just to disagree with you real quick, I think Cabrera would be the best one.
There are going to be some teams, thanks, Lou. Some teams, some competitors, some contenders out there, they're going to want that for sure. Speaking of which, Corey Geiger from the Altoona Mirror is going to be up at the top of the hour. If you're on the phone lines, just, you know, don't want to keep you waiting, so call back after Corey hits the air. He's from the Altoona Mirror and the ESPN Radio out in Altoona. We're going to get a scouting report on Agrizal, who's going today. We might even talk a little bit about Will Craig and the future and Mitch Keller and all the guys that Corey has seen.